Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
A little effort to get here earlier. That would be awesome. You missed the amazing new countdown video and everything. Hallelujah. This is our last message in this series called Same Struggle, and next week we'll start a new summer series. The last message on Same Struggle, we're going to title it this morning, The Secret of Sustainable Success. The Secret of Sustainable Success. John chapter 15, you've been reading John chapter 15? It's really rich. Keep reading that over and over again every day. It's been kind of our goal in the past weeks. But John chapter 15, verse 4 says, "Remain in me," Jesus said, "and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Skip down to verse 16. "You didn't choose me," Jesus said. "I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." We don't want short-lived success, because short-lived success without a good foundation, it dies quickly. But your success is only sustainable as its source. No fruit can be better than the vine that produced it. Now, the word success is a trendy word, I know, but just want to let you know this morning that success is a Bible word. It's a Bible word. And sustainable is also trendy. It's part of our culture. Everything's got to be sustainable. Where we used to have one garbage bin outside, now we have four. Different colors for different things. You wonder where it all goes. The glass here, the paper there, right? Where we used to have one basket under the sink, there's multiple baskets. And it's all good. We need to take care of our earth and be responsible. But success is a Bible word, but how do you sustain success? I was asking my mentor, Pastor Rick Sharkey, about being successful in ministry. And I said, "What do you think success is?" He said, "Success is outlasting." I was like, "Yeah, that's true." Because we hear the statistics of so many churches closing their doors and pastors quitting the ministry. Success is outlasting, and I admire him because he's been pastoring the same church for like 39 years. Same church, same people, same place, same city. It's a long time. And I love going to his building because years ago I remember when he paid his building off. When you pay your building off, you can do a lot more ministry because you don't got that mortgage to pay. You can hire people. You can do outreach. You can do so much more. And I'm looking forward for our building to be paid off. Amen? It's not that much. Just a little more than $500,000 is what this place cost. For a church, that's not a lot of money. You guys understand that, all right? When we only, our monthly mortgage is only $3,400 a month. I mean, it's a little bit more than the house payment. You know, God has blessed us with this place. We are a blessed people and directed us to this, and thank God for good spiritual wives. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, you can impress a woman and convince her to marry you, but your hidden dysfunction will soon rear its ugly head and cause issues, guys. The question is do you have staying power? If you have results without roots, your talent will take you where your character can't keep you. Say that again. If you have results without roots, your talent will take you where your character can't keep you. we all know after high school and college, you got these guys who you knew they were going to be successful. They just had the look, and they had the clothes, and they had the degree now, and then they had the parents, but they always just seemed to have this little hidden agenda. You know, some of my friends from college, they were just a little bit conniving, and they just lie every now and then, and you never thought much of it back then. I wasn't a Christian back then, but if I look, all of a sudden they shot up and they had this huge success. And after a couple years, and you would see them and you'd meet them at a reunion, and they come in with a BMW, and they've got the house, and they've got the house at the beach and the house at the mountains, and you think, wow, well, they're successful. And then a few years later, you read about them in the paper. They got arrested because they embezzled money, and they're everything's falling apart. And here you are just plugging along, just doing what you know to do. And you just thank God that you have character that sustains you. And you know that if you just keep doing what you're doing, you're eventually going to get there. You're eventually going to be blessed. Keep doing what you know to do. So do you have staying power as a Christian? Our success as a Christian is not at the mercy of anyone, not at the mercy of our friends' opinions. All teenagers need to know that. All parents say amen. If there is a true vine, then there must also be a fake vine. And so many times we can get attached to the fake vine. The fake Christian vine is, yeah, sure, you come to church all the time, but are you connected to the vine, Jesus, as your relationship, as your good, good father? Do you live off of that revelation, or are you here because you're looking for a business opportunity? You're looking to start a network marketing business, and you're just waiting for the right time where Pastor Bob's not around to pass out your cards. Please don't. And it's good business. I'm not putting business down at all, but the question is, our success as a Christian and in life is based off of being attached to the true vine. He's our source of life, our source of joy, our source of peace, our source of wisdom, and we're here to build a relationship with him. Not here to give you a good message, make you feel good. Oh, yes, I mean, I want you to leave here feeling good. I don't want you depressed at all. I want you feeling good, but I just don't want you to give you a message, not just a message. I hope that through these messages you are connecting to the vine and you're staying connected to the vine and you're realizing who your good, good father is and who you are and who you are and who you are. And that revelation is sustaining you and helping you to be successful as a Christian. It comes from the true source. It's the only sustainable source. If you build your success on your own strength, it will not last. If you build it on your own talents or your own personality, it won't last. If you build it because you come from good stock or you come from a good family, it will not last. Even though you've got this big dowry, you've got this big trust fund, if you don't know how to maintain that trust fund, you don't know how to take care, invest that trust fund will dwindle quickly and you'll be without. Anybody good at math here? I am not good at math, I admit. All of our kids have struggled with math, and I look at some of the geometry problems. My daughter's doing the online math class, and I'm going to sit down and help her because I build houses and I know geometry. But when they start throwing in letters instead of numbers, it just throws me off. Can anybody say amen? It's like X. Where does X come in? You know, 5X plus 1. What's the constant? Anybody know? 1 is the constant. I looked that up on YouTube, okay? One will always be 1. Yeah. 1 will always add the same value. What's your constant? A constant is this. A constant is a fixed value that does not change. A fixed value that does not change. What's your constant? God you know, religious people will say, well, God's my constant. Okay, all right. Sure, I know that. You know, that's the religious answer. So glad you gave me that. I want to read a scripture in Romans chapter 15 in the Message Bible, and we'll have it up on the screen for you if you don't have a Message Bible. If you do on your phone, just switch to the MSG Bible. But Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 4, says this. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it was written for us. You see that? The NIV King James says that everything that was written long ago in the Old Testament was written for our example. We don't throw out the Old Testament. We learn from their stupid mistakes, because they made a lot of them. That's one of the reasons why our country is in such a horrible state, is because we do not learn from history. We don't learn from history at all. The consequences of sin, the consequences of sexual immorality, we don't learn at all. And here we are. It was written for us. God wants the combination of this, of his steady, constant calling and warm, personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependability, steady and warmly personal God, develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Church people getting along with church people, that is a miracle. It is a true miracle of heaven we get along with each other in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Steady. These are the kind of scriptures you'll hear in a marriage seminar, you know? Steady. Steady is sexy. It is. All you say, no, a six-pack is sexy. Yeah, but a six-pack is not sustainable. You want to see? No, I won't show you. I won't show you. I'll spare you. Ask Don. He's been trying for a couple years now to get back there, right? Oh, we all have. So three things. This is perfect. This is like the perfect scripture base for the three-point sermon. Are you guys ready? All right. So God wants us to trust him as the constant in our life. Constant in what? Number one is constant calling. Constant calling. Too many times people wait for their circumstances to confirm their calling, and you can't do that. That's what we're teaching the interns the next 8 days in the internship. The purpose is to teach them that serving God is not about your feelings. It's about obedience. Okay, God, if you told me to do this, I'm going to do this. No matter how I feel, this is what you've told me to do. And until you say something different, this is what I will do. Our first and foremost calling is our families, you know, is our kids, is providing for them. It's biblical. And even though you don't feel like going to work, you go to work. Because you don't want to miss a day. You don't want to miss that paycheck, because that's your God-given calling and responsibility. It's honorable that you do what you do. And that's one thing about my dad that I love the most, is my dad never missed a day of work. Even though when he had leukemia, he died of leukemia at around 52, my same age. My brother just turned 50 yesterday. He was a July 4th baby. My dad never missed a day of work until the last year. 6 years of leukemia, still never missed. I admired that about my dad. Constant calling, taking care of things. Take, for example, David as the shepherd boy. The same God that delivered him from the paws of the lion and the bear, he said, will deliver me from this Philistine too. So in the secret place, David was being trained when the lion and the bear tried to attack the sheep. And when no one was looking, he defeated the lion and he defeated the bear. And then when everyone was looking, his opportunity came to stand up for the God that he loved, the God that was constant in his life, because he had already tested God. And God gave him the strength to do what he needed to do in secret. And then God, because of his character and because of his heart, God promoted him in public. See, too many times we get promoted in public before our character is developed. And because it's not developed, we end up down the path of destruction instead of success. Thank God David wasn't that way. You've got to be called to that child. You've got to think that even when they turn teenagers, you're still going to parent them. Amen? It's great when they're all cute and cuddly. Oh, you know? It's great when they still love mama and daddy. But once they turn 13, watch out. You know? I may not agree with you, but I still love you. Amen? The second thing is character. Something that needs to be constant in our life is our character. Are you a person of constant character? Not just when the lights are on. Do you have core convictions? One of the core convictions that we try to operate in our life and ministry is honor. Honor. It's one thing you'll never hear me speak of from this pulpit is speak bad of any minister or any church. I honor any pastor and any denomination that is doing the work of the ministry. Amen? And I honor them because I know what it takes. I know what you go through. Been there 25 years. I see what you struggle with. See what the pastor's family struggles with. I honor them. When I drive through a small town, and I see this big, huge church building built in this small town that, you know, has about 400 people, I'm thinking somebody did something right here. I would imagine that they've probably been here for decades. Started this church decades ago, and they haven't quit, and they keep going on. I honor them. Amen? All the pastors that we meet together in this city, I honor them because I know what it takes to stay constant. Another core conviction is we purpose to be people of generosity. Generosity is a character thing. Something that we want to remain constant in our lives because we know the scriptures are true. We can go over all the scriptures, but we personally know that God's word works. And we've proven it over and over again that generous people get blessed. And it truly, truly is more blessed and more fun to give than receive. Truly is. It's fun to receive something. Receiving something is great in a moment. You're surprised and you open your Christmas gifts and you open your cards and everything. But when you plan to be generous, it's like a plan, you know. You got to go shopping, you know. You're going to go get something really good. You know what I love about my daughter and Lisa? I love you too, Stephanie. But I love it when people listen to things that during the day. And I had gotten this sample of cologne. And the samples of cologne, they have that little sprayer on it. You ever notice that? It's like, tit, tit. It lasts a long time. You know, if you're cheap, you just go get samples all the time, right? And it's like, I don't want to buy any cologne. I'm just going to go get samples. Or do you have a tester, right? Can I get a tester, right? So I was like, I really like this. And I was spraying myself for a couple weeks. And somehow she must have went in my bag and found that thing. And then for Father's Day, she bought me that cologne. So that shows me that she had fun doing that. You know, it's like She went on the internet, she said. I tried to find a store that sold it in Gresham. She found it at Kohl's. She went and she bought it. She had planned this whole thing out, and it's fun. And she, and you could tell, she kept saying, "Dad, I got you something. I got you something for Father's Day." I said, "Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I got you something. Okay, I'm glad." He goes, "When I get my paycheck, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go get it. I got you something. It's not just for Father's Day. It's for your birthday, too, because I didn't give you a gift on your birthday. So it's a dual thing because it cost a lot of money." I'm like, "Okay." And you could tell. She's like, happy. It's blessed to be generous. Let's be generous people. You know, we have purposed in our own life to give a tenth of everything. If I can remember early on, if I had gotten Christmas card money, I'd give a tenth of it. If we sold a piece of land or a home or a real estate investment, we would give a tenth of it. Tenth of everything. Somebody said, "Well, you didn't really work for that. You know, that was a gift." I don't care. I don't want to cheap God out of anything, because I know that if I give on every wave, it comes back on every wave. I'm just going to keep giving. Amen. And keep being a blessing. I love it when people come over our house. I love to be host. I love yesterday. I love barbecuing. I want to make sure, if you've ever been over my house, I want to make sure everybody has what they need. Everybody's having a good time. I love that. It's the same way of being a pastor. To hear a negative remark about our church would be like, ugh, you know, because I want everybody leaving here thinking that City Park Church is the best church I've ever been to. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel uplifted. I want you to feel blessed when you leave here. Amen. God is a good provider. He's my constant. He's my provider. When I'm constant, not giving from the leftovers, not at the end of my bills, God blesses me. See, what happens is tithing triggers trust. It triggers trust. It's not just a financial thing, it's a faith thing. When I put you first, you got me covered, God, constantly. Convenience or conviction. You know, I'll tell you a story about Luell and Becca. Stand up, Becca. Luell's not here. He's her other darker half, okay? And they're our youth. They direct all of our youth ministries. And he needed a job and applied to many jobs. And he got a job over working at Cash and Carry. And so what I love about them is they just text me or call and say, "Hey, what do you think?" Because we're not in control of their decisions. "But what do you think?" We just became the youth directors at church, student ministries. And, I need to get a job, but if I take this job, I'm going to have to work some Sundays. I'm like, okay. And he wants to be here as much as we want him here, because, you know, it's not just Wednesday night thing. You got teenagers here that need to be pastored and connected with on Sundays. There's something called inreach as much as outreach. And so I was like, okay. And I said, you know, Sabile felt right about it. I felt right about it. And I just said to him, I said, you know, when you get there, and you get in, even though it's a union job, somehow God's going to work it out to get you Sundays off. And, you know, you just make the statements and not knowing they'll be prophetic. But just knowing somehow. And so he got there, and come to find out, his boss, the manager of the store, goes to Grace. And loves Luell. Says this to Luell: You get along with everybody. Everybody loves you here. You've only been here for a week and a half. Because they did inventory, spent a bunch of hours together, and you could tell, just like the scripture says, we get along together. You know, he gets along with everybody. And then they hired another guy after Luell, who was getting Sundays and Mondays off. Luell's getting Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And Luell's like, huh. They know that I want Sunday off. So he kind of went to his boss and asked him. And the boss said, yeah, I know. He goes, I can't sleep. I've felt bad about it ever since. It just so happened that it followed into that schedule rotation, you know, and that's the union thing, schedule thing. And he goes, but I hear you, Luell, and I just believe we can get this changed. So he's only worked there how many weeks now? Two? Like a month? His schedule changes next week, folks. Sundays and Mondays off. So he can be in church. Because that's where he wants to be. When you put God first, he's got you covered. Amen? Because it's a good job, good benefits, good medical benefits. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah? That's good. Hit them from every side. Isn't it good when you get the body working for you? Hey, God will send somebody to do something for you, you know, because he's working things out behind the scenes. Do you understand that? He's already got your heart. He already knows your desires before you ask. You got to ask. So, you know, in order to activate your faith, but he's working things out behind the scenes. God already had Sunday and Monday off worked out flew well. He just needed to take the job in faith, believing that that's what's going to happen. He's a constant God. Hallelujah. I think church should be a constant in your life. I can't imagine not going to church every week. I can't imagine not at least once a week needing to sit there and have somebody throw Bible verses at you, you know. The last one is this, it's counsel. But I just want to make it a little bit broader. I want to call it connections. Constant connections. You need constant connections in your life. You got to follow Jesus for yourself, but you can't follow Jesus by yourself. We were all made as part of a body. We are all body parts individually. We will be sold on the black market as a body part. But together, collectively, we make up a body that works together as we have relationships together. Your spiritual success is dependent upon your connections. How does God speak? Many times, most of the time, God speaks through other people. Prophetic words come through other people. Encouraging words come through other people. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. You hear me, teenagers? You show me who you're hanging out with. Well, I don't do drugs. Well, you keep hanging out with them, you will. Well, I don't believe in premarital sex. I'm keeping myself pure before marriage. Well, if you keep hanging out with that girl alone, you will. Hello. How come the teenagers are all kind of going low in their seat like that? Come on. I was a youth pastor, you guys. I had 300-400 kids in my youth group, and I've been a parent for 20-something years now. So this isn't my first time in the boat. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord. On Wednesday, Luell said to me, once a youth pastor, always a youth pastor. I'm like, yeah, get those kids wet with those balloons. Yes. We're having fun together. Now, you know John, one of the disciples, he's hanging around Jesus and he's writing down what Jesus says. And he wrote John 15. But he was the only one that wrote it down out of the other three guys that wrote the other three gospels. He's the only one that wrote it down in this manner and in this fashion. And it's the time where they're having the Last Supper and Jesus is washing their feet. And he said that the betrayer is among them. And John wrote the secret to sustainable success, meaning I am the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me. Remain in me. These are some of the last things that Jesus said. He was the only one that wrote them down. It's really interesting. But here's what Matthew wrote about the same night, yet coming from a different perspective. Different author, same night, but they came from a different perspective. And the reason why the Holy Spirit had these four gospels placed in there is we can read the stories about exactly what happened in the life of Jesus from different perspectives to learn different things. Same night, different perspective, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 in verse 30. It says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written. Really? This is the part that John, you know, John's the love apostle. He's the love disciple. He didn't write this part down. But Matthew did. John said, remain in me, and my words remain in you. Ask what you will, it will be done for you. And then Jesus turns right around and he predicts that none of them will. Predicts that none of them will. Continues on and says, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Then Peter, big mouth Peter, stands up and says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Peter's saying, I'm the constant. I'm not going to fall away. I will never deny you. I'm the constant. I'm the rock. You remember, you changed my name. Right? And you gave me this name from Simon to Peter. Rock. I will never fall away. You can count on me, Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, you will. But it's okay. It's all right. Because the constant is not your love for me. Constant is not your love for me. The constant is my love for you. Come on, somebody shout out there. It does not say maintain your love for me. It says you're going to fall away. Folks, we all know, we all go through seasons. We all go through character issues. We all go through times where we don't want to serve God. We don't want to come on Sunday. We don't want to worship. Why is Brittany always going to look so happy up there every Sunday when she leads and smile and jump up and down? And why do they got to move and jump? I don't want to dance. Stop dancing, Dawn. We don't feel like worshiping God. We all go through those seasons. But we're not the constant. Our character will one day fall away. We will make mistakes. But he said, remain in my love for you. The secret of sustainable sex. Did I say that? This is not, okay, scratch that from the tape, okay? Is getting married to one man, one woman, can you say amen? Hallelujah. After you say I do. I better clarify that. Wow. You'll never forget that. The secret of sustainable success. Is not your ability to love Jesus, but to remain in his love for you. He is the constant. He is the vine. We are the branches. I am the vine. He said, I am, I am, I am. The constant is his love for you. Not your calling, his calling. Not your character, his character flowing through you. You have a constant that never fails. He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? Hallelujah. That takes the pressure off. Amen? Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for restoration. You have the band come on up. All the band, it'd be great. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up and let's just praise him. Thank God for this series. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I love the song because it goes with the message. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect. I don't need to be perfect. You never will fall out of love with me. Thank you. have a prayer time for those this morning that would say, Pastor Bob, this whole revelation sets me free this morning. I've tried on my own strength. I've tried to develop my own character. I've tried to get God to love me more by my performance. And this morning he wants to tell you, it's not your performance, it's his performance. It's not your love, it's his love. He is the constant. He is the constant. Hallelujah. This morning, if you had